helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. How many of you remember the original Planet of the Apes movie? You know, the one in 1968 with Charlton Heston? Do you remember when he was captured by the apes and they were hosing him down in the cell and he started screaming,
"It's a madhouse! A madhouse!"
Do you ever feel like that today? As if everything you once knew has been turned upside down and inside out. That nothing seems to fix the problems we have and everything we try only seems to make things worse. Like no matter what you do, the world has gone mad and all you have left is to scream at the insanity. Sometimes I do. But see, then I remember. The framers of our Constitution have given us a remedy. It's a tool. If only we the people would pick it up that tool and use it. Now, this year, I'm on tour and I'm touring the country for my Blessings of Liberty tour. Now, the major points of this tour are to point out that our world is upside down. Our view of government is upside down. It has robbed many of us of those blessings of liberty. More importantly, how, with a little bit of education and some fortitude, you can enjoy those blessings again. But nothing will get better until we realize that we are living in a madhouse because we've let the inmates run the asylum. Now you have to decide. Do you want to stand there and scream at the insanity? Or do you want to pick up your tools and get to work fixing it? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. This is the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. It should be no surprise that the tool I am talking about is the Constitution of the United States. You know, too many Americans think that the Constitution will save us. The Constitution will rectify this problem. The Constitution will hold people accountable, forgetting that the Constitution is ink on parchment. As John Francis Mercer said, I believe at the end of the convention, he says, "It is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose will govern the United States. It is the men who it will bring into the government and interest in maintaining it that is to govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business." That is just as true today. The Constitution is the paper Mr. Mercer's talking about. It does not govern us. The people we put in place are the ones who govern. The Constitution merely sets out the mode and the form. But we have to remember, we the people put those people in place. Therefore, it's we the people that must take up the responsibility of overseeing them and restoring sanity to our madhouse. Another one of our founding fathers, James Madison, said, I believe it was Federalist Papers 11, he said, "In the first place, it is to be remembered that the general government is not to be charged with the whole power of making and administering laws. Its jurisdiction is limited to certain enumerated objects, which concern all the members of the Republic, but which are not to be obtained by the separate provision of any." In other words, what we now call the federal government was never meant to be in charge, to have the whole power of making and administering laws. They had limited and enumerated powers. And because we have gone from this idea of a limited and enumerated federal government, we see government, the central government, growing completely out of control. And this actually is a large part of what I'm going to talk about on the tour. So if you're kind of interested in this stuff, well, this is going to be a little bit of a sneak peek on the tour, and hopefully you'll be willing to come join me at one of my events and hear the full details of this. So let's start with this idea that the central government, the federal government, was never meant to rule everything. They were not to be in charge of everything. It makes sense when you read the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by this Constitution. We start right there, hang there just a second. So there are powers delegated to the United States by the Constitution. What happens to those that are not delegated to the United States? Well, 10th Amendment goes on, nor prohibited by to the states, remain with the states respectively, or with the people. So if a power is not specifically delegated to the United States, it belongs either to the states or to the people. In other words, again, reinforced by Madison, it was never intended that the central government would be the font of all power, the source of all information. And the fact that we keep looking to the feds to take care of these things is a large part of our problem. I remember when I was researching my book, The Constitution Study, I found a website that listed all the federal departments and agencies, all the executive departments and agencies, and there was a lot of duplications and there's a lot of stupid stuff. But when I went through it, I think I came up with, I want to say, is it 450 or 550, several hundred agencies when I removed the duplicates and some of the stupid. And when I went through those one by one, I could only find powers delegated to the United States that they were exercising in about 10% of them. That's right, 10%. That means 90% of those agencies do not legally exist. But Paul, Congress made them, except that was not a power delegated to the United States. And as the Supreme Court said in Marbury versus Madison, legislation repugnant to the Constitution is void. It's empty. It's invalid. It's meaningless. It doesn't legally exist. But we, like the emperor with the new clothes, walk blindly along pretending that they really do when they legally don't. Because we turned over to the federal government not only these powers to make laws they're not authorized to make, but to determine what laws they're authorized to make. Anybody else seeing the danger here? The madhouse you create when you put one entity not only in the charge of making laws and rules and then judging those laws and rules. Sure, we have three branches of government. But they've long given up the idea of actually upholding their oath to the Constitution or protecting their own powers. No. These branches are now much more about how can we simply assume more power in the government. And this is leading to some very, very dangerous situations. I've been pointing them out quite a while here. But there's a few here I want to focus on because, they've gotten my attention lately. And I think there's an opportunity to learn from these. There's a saying, the body will not go where the mind has not already been. We need to think about these things beforehand because, they very well could happen to you. Just imagine you're sitting home one day when there's a knock on the door and three armed law enforcement officers show up, two from the ATF and one from a state trooper. That's exactly what happened to a man in Delaware. Now, the agents did not have a warrant, but they did tell the man that they wanted to see the guns he had recently purchased as part of a straw purchase investigation. Now, if you don't know, a straw purchase is when you buy a gun for someone else specifically or primarily someone who is not legally allowed to own a gun. So, for example, if I went to buy a gun for my neighbor because my neighbor was having some problems, that's a straw purchase. That is a federal crime. I'm not here to debate that crime, but I want you to point out, you get a knock on the door, three armed law enforcement officers come asking to see something in your home without a warrant. Now, what's interesting is this gentleman had one of those doorbell cameras. I'm not a huge fan of most of these doorbell cameras because all that data goes up to the cloud and is not protected. The companies don't protect that data very well, but this person had one, and I'm actually glad he did because, we have the recording. Now, this was investigated by Lee Williams. He's the chief editor of the Investigative Reporting Project of the Second Amendment Foundation, and he broke the story. Now, as you would not be surprised, the poor gentleman is flustered. He hadn't expected armed personnel to show up at his door. It's not something you think about. So he asked, did I do anything wrong? Now, he was, according to the surveillance video, he was assured that he had done nothing wrong. They just wanted to see a gun that he had bought and verify the serial number, and then they would leave. Now, apparently, the owner had purchased multiple firearms in January of 2022. This happened in July of 2022. So again, he's a little flustered. He shows them one of the guns, but he said later that he regretted having done so. Why? Because neither the ATF nor the state police have any legal authority to search for that information, not without a warrant. But they're investigating a crime. Okay, then if they have probable cause, they can get a warrant. Now, why did the ATF show up at this man's place of residence? By the way, the Second Amendment Foundation is not providing the gun owner's name in order to avoid possible retribution. But you see, they found out about his purchase because the dealer, under federal law, is required to report the sale of multiple firearms to the same buyer within a certain time frame to the ATF. So, granted, I'm looking at this in hindsight, but as I prepare my mind for what would happen if this happened to me, I have purchased multiple firearms at a single time in the past. Granted, that was years ago, but who knows? Well, the first thing is to recognize, the first question you have is, where is your warrant? It's very simple. Where is your warrant? I want to see the warrant before I do anything. No warrant, no entrance. By the way, I don't have one of those door cameras, so what I would be had to have is I would have my cell phone out, and I'd be recording the video on my cell phone. I, by the way, also have in my other hand, I'd have my landline phone, and I'd actually have a 911 dialed cordless phone. I've had it ready to go, so with a single press of a button, I could call 911. Why? Well, remember, I've already talked to my sheriff. I understand that his deputies are trained that if they get a 911 call, if they show up to a call, their job is to protect the rights of everyone involved. I want them on my side if these ATF agents push the issue. So the first question is, where is your warrant? No warrant, no entry. Please leave my property. If they refuse, you are now trespassing on my property. Leave my property or I will call the police. We are the police. No, right now you're criminals. You are violating the law because you are on my property. You don't have an exigent circumstance and you do not have a valid warrant. Leave my property. As soon as they say no, as soon as they push back, I hit the 911. I put it on speakerphone. And when the operator answers, says, yes, I have federal agents who are trespassing on my property. They refuse to leave. I need a deputy here ASAP to escort them off my property. I stay on my property. I stay in my house. I may not even open the door. One thing you may try, you get those little wedges. You see the little doorstop wedges? They can be really handy here because if you crack the door open to talk to them, you can have one of those doorstops behind the door that if they push, they don't knock you over because that doorstop will help slow things down. But these are things, again, I think about. I know, I'm weird. Most people don't do this. But this is preparation for the potential. And again, it doesn't have to be ATF. It could be any government agent requesting access or information without a warrant. You have a right to be secure in your person, your property, your houses, and your effects. They have no right to look at your guns. They have no right to look inside your home. They have no right to enter. They have no right to be on your property without your permission, without a warrant or an exigent circumstance. Exigent meaning urgent. Now, I'm not talking about someone chasing a law enforcement chasing a felon. I'm talking about here, they're doing an investigative tool. Okay, get a warrant. And then you stop talking. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to prove to them you want a warrant. No warrant. You're trespassing. You then call the police. Let the police deal with them. If they attempt to break into your home, then you have a question. You have to decide. Do you try to secure your home from this illegal search? Or do you let them in and then wait for the police to show up to deal with it? By the way, when you're recording, get faces, get badge numbers, get IDs, get something you can find them afterwards. Because you're going to want to file a complaint with the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office for violation, for criminal violation of the law, Title 18 United States Code, Section 242. This is the type of Gestapo tactics that I think are going to become more and more prevalent, especially as we see the executive branch acting more and more like a king and less like a president, ignoring the law and simply arbitrarily making up the rules as they go along. Now, again, this is a specific situation. I've got other places, things I'm going to cover, but I have to take a break. But I want to remind you, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Find out where I'm going to be speaking. By the way, I've got other dates I'm still negotiating. If you don't see me coming near you, fill out that form on the page and see if I can do an event near you. I do not charge to come to these events unless you'd sell tickets. If this is just a group of people meeting, I won't charge you. I'll sell some books, but I don't charge you for it. But this is the type of information I think we need to understand, that the federal government is not all powerful, that we need to learn to stand up if we are going to secure those blessings of liberty we seem to be so fond of. Also, if you wouldn't mind, check out Healthy Cell. They are a leading innovator in nutritional supplements for cellular health. You may not realize that most vitamins have not been upgraded since the 1930s. Well, Healthy Cells reinvented the vitamin. They often come in travel-ready gel packs. One I love, Immune Super Boost. It helps support your immune system. I use it when I'm on the go. You can use it anytime you want. It's an easy-to-use gel pack. And as an America Out Loud listener, Healthy Cell will give you 20% off your first order. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So try Immune Super Boost or any of their products. Just go to healthycell.com. Don't forget that code OUTLOUD at checkout. They will give you 20% off your first order. And we'll be back right after this short break.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com. HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Let the silent voices be heard. It was the rallying call that started it all. It's a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal and cultural stories. 6 amazing years of news blogs, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
It's summertime. Ready for your vacation to the beach, the lake, or the mountains? But what about your accommodations? Ever wonder what germs were left behind by the previous guests? Kathy G. from Tulsa says the Genesis Fogger gives her peace of mind and confidence when traveling. With Genesis, she knows that the air and surfaces in her vacation rental are free of bacteria and viruses left behind by the previous occupants. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. I'm glad you could join me here at the Constitution Study. Today we're talking about the madhouse that America seems to have become. Now, as I was heading to break, I was talking about the ATF and how they visited, without a warrant, a gentleman in Delaware for the purpose of checking his guns based on a purchase he had made earlier in the year. And I warned you that I expect this type of thing to happen more and more, because ATF is one of those agencies that just seems to be completely off the leash. they've been making up rules and performing illegal, in this case, searches, or attempting to make illegal searches. And there are a few states that are getting a little testy about it. In fact, Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich submitted a complaint not that long ago against the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. And he's been joined by AGs from 16 other states. At issue, this idea that the ATF is simply making up the rules as they go along. The latest one is their attempt to make a thing called a ghost gun a firearm. Now, if you're not familiar with the term, ghost guns is a pejorative term used by anti-Second Amendment people, anti-gunners, people who hate guns, to describe a firearm that you assemble at home and does not require a serial number. So under federal law, if you go to a store and you buy a firearm, it has to have a serial number. You go through a background check, you do all of that. Well, also under federal law, you can purchase parts to make a gun. Now, there is a part of the gun that's referred to as the receiver. It is the part that's supposed to be serialized. But you can even get receivers that are not completed and complete them yourself. Now, when they're sold, these are not firearms. They are not functional. They're a bundle of parts. But you see, that scares the anti-gunners. What you mean? You could actually have a gun that the government doesn't know about? Inconceivable. So they've given them, again, the pejorative term ghost guns, as if they're scary, you know, oh, make them out. So, by the way, I'd love the idea of making a gun. Just for the joy, just for the new experience of building a gun from parts. I haven't had the time, but I know several people who've done it. They find it a wonderful pastime, and they make some really, really nice guns. So what the ATF has done is they've decided that these ghost guns are now firearms. Now, again, the law was they're trying to effectively change the law through this rule that they're creating. There's just one problem. This never was a law. See, you have a right to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say the federal government has a right to know about every arm that you own, or that any arms that you own, by the way. It doesn't say that the federal government has the right to regulate what arms that you own. No, you have a right to keep and bear arms. But you see, the federal government doesn't like that, and a lot of state governments don't like it either. Now, whether it's because they have an irrational fear of firearms, or they just recognize that the reason we have a Second Amendment is so that we can protect ourselves from an out-of-control government. For whatever reason, the ATF has decided to keep rewriting these rules without laws from Congress. And that's where these attorneys general come in, is they are now, they filed a complaint. Now, you know how I feel about that. It's the proper step. But understand, you're basically asking the federal government to tell the federal government no. Now, based on a couple of recent Supreme Court opinions, that's not, you know, they found the right way, but there's plenty of more cases where the federal government just says, no, we're not going to do that. We'll find a judge that agrees with us, or we'll just ignore the judge or whatever. But understand, not only is this an infringement on your Second Amendment rights, this is an infringement on separation of powers. You see, we have three branches of government. Remember, the legislative writes the law, the executive executes the law, the judicial decides controversies about the law. But what we have is the executive branch effectively attempting to make law. That is usurping the power of Congress to establish the law. Why is this important? You did not elect the bureaucrats in the ATF to make these laws. Right? This is taxation without representation, to use a term we probably all learned in school. This is the government saying, we are going to make the laws, but you're not going to have the representation as a say in those laws, because we're just going to bypass Congress and make it up all by ourselves. Now, this is not the first time ATF has simply made up a rule. It's not the last time. And it's not simply Democratic presidents that it happens under. Remember, we had the pistol brace that was Trump's ATF simply said, oh, no, that's now a firearm because we said so. Right? This is what happens when you let the federal government write all of these laws, and then we let the executive branch go ahead and do whatever it wants without the check and balance, not just amongst the three branches of the federal government, but between the federal government and the states, and between them and the people. That's the part that is lost. So as the ATF gains in arrogance, I expect not only more of these quote-unquote rules that pretend to be laws to be put in place, I also expect them to find more excuses to try and violate your rights in the name of some sort of investigation or keeping you safe, right? It's necessary to keep you safe. And we all know what William Pitt the Younger said about that. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. Now, that's not to say that the ATF or even the executive branch is the sole choice, the sole location of infringing on our rights to keep and bear arms. The House just passed an assault weapons ban. Now, they define an assault weapon as a semi-automatic rifle that can accept a detachable magazine and have at least one of the following, quote-unquote, military features. But there's a couple problems with that. First of all, this violates the Second Amendment. This is infringing on the right of the people to keep and bear arms. They are depriving you of the right to keep and bear a arm because they don't like it. They simply declare that this is an assault weapon. Well, that's a made-up term. Every weapon is an assault weapon. You get a billy club and you assault someone with it, it's an assault weapon. They talk about the semi-automatic assault rifles as military. These are not military weapons. If you get join the Army, they're not handing you an AR-15 or an AK-47. They worry about the amount of the capacity of the magazines. But again, this is a violation of the Second Amendment. But because we allow Congress to ignore the Constitution when they think they have a good reason, we get these things like this. Bump stocks, pistol braces, semi-automatic shotguns. Many of these are suddenly, Congress wants to declare them illegal, outside the Constitution. There's just one problem. Congress doesn't have the authority to do that. Only the states have the authority to redefine something in the Constitution, which means this act is void. It's meaningless. Now, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen in the Senate. Pretty sure if it passes that Biden will sign it. And we've seen this done in the past, right? Clinton had signed an assault weapons ban, which did nothing really, if memory serves, to the rate of crime. No, this is about infringing on the rights of the people. And since we live in this upside-down madhouse where Congress supersedes the Constitution of the United States, where the people are servants of government, they are subjects and slaves of government rather than its master, this stuff goes on. We need to think, what are we going to do? How are we going to stand up to this infringement on our rights, both individually and among our states? How many of you are having a discussion with your state governor or state legislature about what to do should this illegal, unconstitutional, null and void act become federal law? Showing them that it is not federal law. It is not the supreme law of the land, that it is an invalid law, and that as parties to the Constitution, the states have the final authority, not the federal government. This is beyond that. This is not a power delegated to the United States. It's actually forbidden to the United States and to all the states. Therefore, it cannot be legal. It cannot be just. And that's exactly why, ladies and gentlemen, we have a Second Amendment so that a government could not enforce an unjust law. As Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any bands of regular troops that can be on any premise raised in the United States. That's why you have a Second Amendment. Not so you can go hunting, not so you can go target shooting, so that you would prevent the federal government from enforcing unjust laws. And in fact, state governments as well, while we think about it. Let's transverse from guns for a little bit. Let's talk about something else. How about healthcare? How about medicines? See, top officials at the US FDA are reporting they were being pressured by vaccine companies and the White House to clear booster shots. At least this is according to some newly released emails. Dr. Marion Gruber, who is the director of the FDA's Office for Vaccines Research and Review, or the OVRR, said she was very concerned that companies such as Pfizer and Janssen are trying to put pressure on OVRR by the way of PR. You see, the FDA, which, by the way, is an illegal agency, it was created to give you safety information about these drugs. And they were being rushed to approve these vaccines and these booster shots. In many cases, being rushed not just by the manufacturers, but by the White House and other officials in the Biden administration to hurry up, bypass, ignore the safety rules, ignore the safety protocols to get these out. So that people can say, yes, it's FDA accepted, it's EUA'd, it's FDA approved, even though it hasn't gone through all the testing. Now, this is what happens when we take a government and say, Washington, federal government, we want you to double check we want you to be in charge of the safety of our drugs. No, we've never delegated you that authority under the Constitution. Therefore, the creation of the FDA was an invalid piece of legislation, meaning the FDA doesn't legally exist. It's an invalid, it's an illegal organization. And the dangers of placing that much power in any entity, any single entity, to determine for you what drugs you may or may not be allowed to use, what drugs you may be coerced into taking, we saw through the last 2.5 years as we watched government after government take information that we now have more evidence was backdoored, was coerced, was pressured to rush out. And how many people took a shot in their arm because they had bad data that said first it would stop the spread when they knew it wouldn't, that it was safe when it has more adverse reactions than all the previous vaccines combined, that this agency is approving its use in children that have a statistical zero chance of dying from this. I mean, it's like, what, 0.0009%, something like that? This is the political manipulation of our medical decisions because we handed over to the federal government the authority to make these decisions for us. And by handed, I mean we didn't stand up when they tried. We didn't stand up and say, no, you're not authorized. This is unconstitutional. We will not stand for it. Each and every one of you that votes for this gets fired. We sat back and said, oh, yeah, take care of it for me. Because the American people, we're not the land of the free anymore. We gave up our freedom decades ago. We gave it up when we turned over to government the ability to make medical decisions for us, to provide for our old age, our retirement, to decide what toilets we can use and what light bulbs we can use and what kind of gas mileage our cars must get. Every time we turn over to government, we allow them to assume this power, or in many cases, we ask them to assume this power for us, to impose our will on others. We are turning this place more and more into a madhouse. We have taken the inmates and let them loose to run the asylum. And then we throw our hands up and say, well, there's nothing we can do. There is something you can do. There are a lot of things you can do. And I want to talk about them a little later in the program. But we have an election coming up. What are you doing to make sure that your election at your county level is free and fair and transparent? What are you doing to help educate not just yourself, but your neighbors, family, others about the Constitution, what the Constitution says about elections and the powers of those in government? What are you doing to educate people and how they really should be vetting their candidates? Not based on the bribes that the candidates will give them, but on their fidelity to the oath they took to support the Constitution of the United States. What are you doing to find people at the state government level, governors, state reps, state senators, even in many cases state judges, that recognize their oath to the Constitution supersedes what makes their life easy. That just because the federal government says something doesn't mean it's legal or valid. Let me remind you of what Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Papers number 78. He says, "There is no position which depends on clearer principle than that every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void." We need to recognize that every government actor is acting under a delegated authority, delegated by the Constitution that created that government. Every government actor acts under a delegated authority. So if they act contrary to the commission that, of that authority, in this case, the Constitution that created the office, that act is void. Hamilton went on to say, "No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. To deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than his principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves, that men acting by virtue of powers may do not only what their powers do not authorize, but what they forbid." The very idea that the people we hire to represent us in Congress, in our state legislatures, are superior to us is the madhouse that Hamilton is talking about. It's as crazy as the deputy being greater than the principal, than the servant being above the master. But that's exactly where we live today because we have let the inmates run the asylum. Now, I have to take another break. Before I do, hey, find others with voices like mine that have all this great information about the inmates running the asylum. Make AmericaOutLoud.com your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. Do what you can. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos. Help all of us work to secure the blessings of liberty, not just to ourselves, but to our posterity.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products: toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20%. By using promo code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about the madhouse that America's becoming. You know, it's not like this is something new. This has been going on for a while, but it just seems to me like the rate of insanity is growing. And we talked in the first half about, the ATF and firearms and stuff like that. Second segment, we talked about things going on in the Biden administration from both the ATF and the FBI, even the FDA, and the pressure, the political pressure to get these agencies to promote the agenda. Well, we've got some more examples I want to wrap up the show with, including, well, speaking of pressure, let's talk about the FBI. Whistleblowers from within the FBI have told the House Judicial Committee members that they're being pressured to pad instances of domestic violent extremist data. They're even being told people are getting awards and promotions for those who meet a bureau's DVE investigation quota. So what we see is an attempt to make it, apparently, according to the whistleblowers, the FBI data is being massaged to make it look like there's a lot more domestic violent extremists, DVEs. And I'll think about that. Compare that to some of the political rhetoric going on, and well, it kind of makes sense. But once again, we see the FBI, we're seeing the law enforcement arms being politicized. Now, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, he's the ranking member on the committee, sent a letter to FBI Director Wray, in which he said, "From recent protected disclosures, we have learned that FBI officials are pressuring agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism, even if the cases do not meet the criteria for such classifications. Given the narrative pushed by the Biden administration that domestic violent extremism is the greatest threat facing our country, revelation that the FBI may be artificially padding domestic terrorism data is scandalous." I don't think scandalous is a term I would use. I would say criminal. Possibly even, not conspiratorial, but aiding and abetting an insurrection. Because remember, it's this attack, this claim that domestic violent extremism is such a threat that has led to so many of the infringements on the rights, the violation of the Constitution of the United States. Now, I'm not throwing around that this is an insurrection. But we do see is what appears to be a slow coup, an attempt to pull power into the executive branch, pull power away from the states, and to pull power away from the people. And that takeover, again, since in the last 2 years, truly has been accelerating, or at least the evidence of it from my standpoint. Again, that's not all. The Biden administration apparently has plans to give federal government IDs to illegal aliens. See, this pilot program, confirmed, by the way, by the Biden administration, wants to, change the way the documentation that is provided to some non-citizens. Now, part of what they're doing makes sense, right? They're moving away from the paper documents that we've been using for probably decades to a secure ID card. The idea being it's less likely to get damaged or lost or, you know, forged, I assume. But part of that involves what they refer to as provisionally released non-citizens, i.e. illegal aliens waiting trial, to give them this new modernized digital ID card. Now, maybe this is only say, hey, here you are, you're an illegal alien, and here's your identification for, I don't know, whatever purposes you might need. But based on the recent history, I'm not so sure that this is simply a modernization of the documentation that's already used. But think about it. Part of the reason we have a need for this ID is because the administration, and in fact Congress and most of the federal government, well, they've been slow walking dealing with illegal aliens for years, for decades. Every so often we go through this big brouhaha, but we're back to the same place of, we don't have time to deal with them. We're going to let them loose in the country. We don't want to put them in jail for alleged crimes. No, we'll just give them an ID and off they go. My question is, why is it ICE that's doing this? If this is something that is a change in the law, why isn't Congress doing it? That to me would be an interesting question. What else is our ruler in chief up to? Well, through his EPA, he's trying to change the laws about emissions output to basically get rid of all the coal plants. See, the EPA is implementing new regulations on coal ash and ozone that are specifically targeted at coal-powered plants. They don't like the carbon emissions. They don't like the other things. They're targeting coal-powered plants. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is the same administration that's pushing electric vehicles, and we need the coal-powered plants to provide the electricity because the natural gas and quote-unquote renewables that we have don't come nearly close enough to providing for it. But But again, this is not being done by law. This is not Congress going, we want to set these strategies. No, this is a federal bureaucracy. Make up the rules as it goes along. While we're at it, since when does government have a necessity to data that involves just ignoring the Fourth Amendment? See, it appears the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission collected data on over 100 million Americans from 70,000 different employers in order to investigate what they refer to as systemic pay discrimination. Need I remind you that employment contracts are not a regulating employment is not a power delegated to the United States? That making sure that people get paid the same amount is not a power delegated to the United States? And that without a warrant, this collection truly is, this search of data is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. But Paul, it's not private information. They got it from the employers. True. But then again, the Fourth Amendment doesn't say you'll be free from unreasonable privacy infringement. It says you're free from unreasonable searches. Why are they searching for this data? And since they're not obviously, remember, every one of these people probably paid income tax. They filed an income tax return, which means the government already has data on pay. What are they looking for? Well, apparently, they're looking, again, to justify another illegal, unconstitutional infringement on the rights of the people because they have a bug in their bonnet thinking that there's a systemic pay discrimination, even though studies, and I mean honest, full-throated studies, not these, you know, oh, well, you know, you add up men and women and the average pay and it's different, taking nothing into consideration about seniority, time in service, education, hours worked, the usual nonsense. They're going to use that and they're simply going to go, well, we'll just go collect the data because, well, we're the federal government and you have to do what we say. And here's another one. We've got the CDC. See, the CDC suddenly decided, you know what? They want to make monkeypox nationally notifiable, meaning they expect doctors to report all cases of monkeypox. Now, add that to the fact that the WHO is calling it a health emergency. The CDC wants to call it a national health emergency. So far, they're talking, or at least as of, about last Friday. So we're talking the 29th, I think. The CDC had reports of 5,000 cases of monkeypox throughout the country. And as I understand it, almost all of them involve people who engaged in, well, just call it risky behavior. See, monkeypox apparently is not easily transmissible. And we have a vaccine for it. And I believe there's treatment for it as well. But again, what do we have? Do we have the legislative branch, the elected representatives of the people making these determinations, or do we simply have an executive agency ruling as if we have these? And again, where in the Constitution is the federal government authorized to track medical information? The answer is nowhere. The general welfare of the United States covers the proper noun for the Union of States. Even that would be pushing it. And after all, the lies, the misinformation, the disinformation, the threats, the coercion of COVID-19, does anybody trust the CDC? With the recent evidence of the way they've doctored the data, the way they've hidden information about both the COVID disease itself and the safety and efficacy of the vaccines, does anybody really trust the CDC to have a clue what it's doing? No, I don't. To me, this looks like another example of, well, COVID's going away. We need something else to scare the crap out of everybody so that we can remain in charge. See, it's one of the outcomes of the socialization of medicine that's been taking place for the last couple of decades. I know, you're sitting there going, well, we don't have socialized medicine. Well, in many ways we do. We've done everything we can to destroy local family practices and corporatize and socialize everything, which means you shouldn't really be surprised when medical boards, state medical boards, start threatening physicians' license with revocation if they don't toe the party line. According to Andy Shafley, he's an attorney representing the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, these letters don't allege any specific misinformation. In other words, they're kind of generic. Oh, you said you used misinformation, therefore we're threatening to revoke your license. But they never actually specify what they said that was wrong. See, I wonder if that misinformation might have been things like, oh, you know, there are risks to the COVID-19 shots, or ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine have been shown to be effective. But you see, they're not towing the party line. And now the state medical boards are threatening the licenses. And I've talked to Dr. McCullough about some of the things he's been going through. Well, the reason I bring up Andy Shafley is they've apparently sued. And according to their suit, both the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Family Medicine have sent letters that basically say, listen, you've been charged with misinformation. Prove that you're innocent. Another one, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology has warned its providers against disseminating misinformation and disinformation about COVID-19, reproductive health care, contraception, abortion, and other practices that may harm patients or the public health. Now, these are obvious retaliation against doctors speaking out against the misinformation, the lies, and others involving COVID-19, quote-unquote, vaccines. The cover-up of the fact that the emergency use authorization required that there not be any form of treatment, which we quickly found out there was. And if you think about it, this is the idea of socialized medicine. If you have a doctor that does some research, gets some information, and shares it with you, but it doesn't comport with the medical board's approved narrative, they simply threaten their license. That's not the practice of medicine. That's the practice of socialized medicine. We've been warning about it for years, and we brought it in just little bits at a time and under a different name. See, this is not the limited government that our founders created in 1787. Even the Federalists did not believe that a powerful central government was meant to be all-powerful. It had to be powerful enough to do what it was tasked to do, but not to simply rule over everything. I mean, Hamilton was a Federalist, and even he said, listen, if Congress goes beyond the Constitution, that act is invalid. And this brings me back to this whole idea of a madhouse. See, the power structure that was designed for this country put most of the power locally. Most of our states in their Constitution point out that all power is inherent in the people, that they delegate power to the state to take care of certain things, and that the states have then delegated some of that power to the United States to take care of things more done and as a union rather than individually with the states. But this whole idea has been turned upside down to the point now where we don't even need laws. We just need executive orders and rules and regulations from executive agencies to create effectively law. We are no longer the land of the free. We are the land of the ruled. And it's that way because the American people continue to stand for it. Now, most of us stand for it because we don't know any better. We were taught in school to do what you're told, to follow whatever dictate comes out of Washington and not ask whether it's constitutional or not. I remember when they were debating the Affordable Care Act, somebody asked Nancy Pelosi where in the Constitution Congress was authorized to write such legislation. Her response was, "Are you kidding me?" So yes, we live in a madhouse. The inmates are running the asylum. But that only exists as long as we go on with the madness. As long as we buy into the insanity. When the American people learn what the Constitution says, learn their true power and the power of their states, we can start bringing sanity to this mess. We won't start in Washington, D.C. No. You start locally. You start with your sheriff and your county boards, your county commissions, to inoculate yourself against the crazy, to give you some protection against out-of-control state and federal actors. Just like that person in Delaware, if he had known better, would have said, wait a second, you don't have the right to come in here. You don't have a warrant. And if you had a sheriff that actually understood the Constitution, could back him up with that. And as this inoculation, as this idea spreads and grows, as people see freedom in action, well, then maybe we can start making a difference. Now, again, if you want to help me on this job, if you want to help me on this work, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Either join me at one of the events, invite me to one of the events, or, hey, why don't you see if you could support some of the work that we're doing, help pay for my hotel and gas while I'm traveling around the country. I'd appreciate it very much. But if the first step in bringing sanity back to this madhouse is education, well, then you can start by letting other people know. Not just about the radio program, about my website, about the other programs that I'm putting together. In fact, one of the things you can do is go to the website, constitutionstudy.com, sign up for one of my mailing lists, and I'm doing a drawing in the month of August for a free signed copy of my book. So give it a try. Again, that's constitutionstudy.com. Just sign up for one of the mailing lists. You'll see a button on the right. The more people you get to do that, to get exposed to some of this information, the better. Now, if you want to let them know about the show, let them know they can listen to the Constitution Study weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio network. They can listen on our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa, or through our media player. Or they can listen to the podcast through their favorite podcast app. Just make sure, if they would, to subscribe and leave a rating and review. You can find all the links on the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.com. Do me a favor, join the movement, join us all as we share the blessings of liberty from sea to shining sea.